codefoster.com and on Twitter at codefoster. As you can probably tell, I'm not in the studio today. I'm actually in San Francisco, California. Close to San Francisco, I guess.
Mountain View, California.
And I'm here with Slava from RethinkDB. So RethinkDB is a product that these guys work on in this awesome little startup space and in a little corner of Mountain View. Slava, can you go ahead and introduce yourself and RethinkDB and tell the crowd what the product is and what you do?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on the show. Yeah. My name is Slava. I'm one of the founders of RethinkDB. Our company is dedicated to making it very easy to build modern, scalable, real-time applications. So, for example, we've all used Google Docs, and in Google Docs, if you're looking at a document and someone else is modifying it, you could see the change in real time.
Yeah.
And we all got used to that kind of experience. So what we want to do is we want to make it very, very easy for people to build these kinds of applications. And our first product is an open source database. It's a real-time NoSQL scalable database. It allows people to store, retrieve JSON documents, do complicated queries. But what RethinkDB does that's different from every other NoSQL database is that it's the first product designed from the ground up for real-time apps. And what that means is that instead of querying the database over and over and over again to get latest data, which is very difficult if you're building a modern real-time application, we let developers subscribe to data or queries. So they could say, this is the kind of stuff I'm interested in. I'm interested in top five players in my game, or I'm interested in the location of this player, or I'm interested in the events that are happening around me. And what RethinkDB does is it pushes the events to the application developer instead of the application developer having to ask for them over and over again.
Okay, so normally when I do a query like that, like show me all the things that are within a 1 mile radius, I get a result right now, and if I want fresh results, I do another query. But what you're saying is that I'm more subscribing to that, and whenever that data changes, I'm getting a push event.
That's right. Okay. That's exactly what we do, and it makes building all kinds of things much easier. So for example, we have use cases in gaming, multiplayer gaming, collaborative web apps, real-time analytics, IoT applications, devices, all kinds of things like that where real-time is very important.
Now, I have to tell you, the first time that I saw RethinkDB, despite the claims that the scalability and the performance and all of these other things were improvements and the real-time thing, one of the things that caught my eye was the syntax. It's a real clean, object-oriented, it just feels like you're dealing with just JavaScript objects. Is that one of the core tenets of the product?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we started designing the query language for RethinkDB, we knew that we wanted people to be able to store JSON in the database because it works really well with web applications. And we did a survey and we looked at the kind of questions people ask online, let's say in Stack Overflow about SQL. And these questions were fundamentally different from any other programming language, because in any other programming language, people will ask, you know, I'm trying to do this and something's wrong, I don't understand what's going on. But in SQL, people would ask, how do I do this?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it doesn't feel like a programming language.
Yeah,
it feels
right.
Like something very different.
Yeah.
And what we wanted to do with RQL, which is a RethinkDB query language, is make it very, very easy for programmers to be able to write intuitive queries. So it's modeled after jQuery. If you're used to jQuery where you can chain commands,
yeah.
That's how RQL works. You say, you start with, let's say, a collection, you know, here's where my data is, and then you do transformations on it, and you can build up queries very easily in an intuitive way, and you can test them piecemeal.
Okay.
So that makes building queries and building apps much easier.
And so I was going to say that you're always resulting in JavaScript objects and JavaScript arrays, but probably you're actually resulting in callbacks, right? And then the properties in those callbacks are either individual JavaScript object or arrays.
Right. Well, you can use RethinkDB and RQL from any programming language. So in Node.js, it feels like you're writing Node.js code.
Okay.
Right, so in Node.js, it's usually called callbacks or promises, depending mm-hmm. on how you like to write your app.
I see.
But if you use, let's say, Python, you get Python iterators and generators, for example.
Okay. How about C#?
In C#, there's a community-supported driver, so some of our users are using RethinkDB with C# very heavily, and mm-hmm. they wrote a driver for RethinkDB. I don't actually know how it works, but I believe they integrate with LingQ.
Oh, wow.
That makes it feel like a native, you know, C#.NET
right.
Experience.
So that's neat. I mean, we tend to talk a lot about Webstack here on CodeChat. And so a lot of us are used to JavaScript. We're certainly used to the fact that there's always a new JavaScript framework coming out. But this isn't a JavaScript framework. This is a database. And this can be accessed from a number of different SDKs, basically, that you have, right?
Yep. You can use any language, any development environment that you want, and RethinkDB will work. And our users typically use a lot of different technologies and a lot of different web frameworks. You know, they write React applications, Angular applications, and we work really hard to make it easy to build those kinds of apps on top of RethinkDB.
Now, what's the difference, Slava, between a... You know, I've got plenty of experience with building myself a database and then building a data access layer and then maybe even building another tier that is an API, and that's where I would put my my real-time interaction, my web sockets that would communicate real-time with the client and it would access the data. So what's the difference between me building my database data tier, API, real-time, and using something like RethinkDB? Is it just a convenience? Is it just quicker?
Well, so if you want to build a real-time application today, it's definitely possible with today's technologies, but it's really, really hard. And you mentioned all these layers
mm-hmm.
that you would have to work through, and every time the developer has to do this work, and every company that's building a modern app, they have to go through this over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose behind RethinkDB, what we really want to accomplish, is make it easier to build real-time apps than to build non-real-time apps. And right now it's the other way around. Like, if you want to build a regular application, it's way easier than building a real-time one.
Yeah.
So we want the web to be real-time by default. And specifically what that means with respect to RethinkDB is that getting started is much easier. We're working to integrate with the web frameworks and technologies like Netflix's Falcor and Facebook's Relay and GraphQL to make the integration tighter,
okay.
Make it much easier to build web apps. And then as your application becomes more complicated, more sophisticated, as you scale it out, as you add more real-time functionality, RethinkDB works and scales with the application to make that easy. And I don't just mean scale in terms of number of users, although we do that too. I mean scale in terms of the complexity of your application, the complexity of features.
So ideally then, the complexity is being hidden from me as a developer behind RethinkDB and its architecture, so that I continue to interact with it the same way regardless of how my application scales or grows.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of picking the right abstractions.
Mm-hmm.
And as we learned a lot about how to build real-time apps, what we're doing is we're taking the lessons that every company that built one
mm-hmm.
learned themselves, and we're taking the technology and kind of operationalizing it, productizing it, putting the right abstractions in place. So now if you're building one, the database deals with a lot of the things the database should be dealing with in a modern age for a modern app, and then the developer just builds their application. They don't have to worry about scaling and routing and all these kind of complexities that are tangential to the core application that they're building.
You know, in our modern world, in a lot of our solutions, we're going to have a collection of different data techniques. You know, we might have classic relational databases, we might have NoSQL databases, and then we might have, you know, big data implementations. Does RethinkDB attempt to kind of consume a number of these roles, or is this kind of a whole new category that's going to complement and work with the other database types?
Well, RethinkDB, the open source project, is a NoSQL database, but it's a next generation NoSQL database. It's really meant for different modern kind of applications.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes all the lessons that NoSQL vendors learned about scalability and how to design a database, and it takes all the lessons from real-time applications and puts that into a new next generation product that makes building real-time apps really easy.
Okay.
But most of our clients, customers, and users, they use multiple databases in their infrastructures. They'll use RethinkDB for their real-time functionality. They'll use Elasticsearch for quick kind of fuzzy matching. They'll use Hadoop maybe for data, or HDFS for data warehousing. So they have a lot of different specialized technologies for the kind of things that they want to do. And our goal as a company is to build a set of data management tools and services that make building real-time apps very easy when you're still on your laptop prototyping, all the way to huge enterprise deployments, and take all these problems that every company has to deal with over and over and over again and operationalize them and make that easily accessible to people at different levels of scale.
So is this something where I download RethinkDB and double click the installer and that operationalization is done? Or is this something where I engage Rethink on a services level and get assistance with the data story for my solution?
Well, right now RethinkDB is an open source project, and
okay.
It's the core technology that makes it very easy to build web applications. So for our customers today, when they reach out to us, we offer all kinds of support, and it's client services with the development support, production support, and training. But the products we're going to ship soon are going to take all the lessons we've learned from supporting all these customers, and it's going to be a cloud service that lets people very quickly deploy applications from their laptop, you know, to the web. And then over time, as the app gets more complex, we'll deal with all the management. And eventually, if someone wants to go back and deploy on-prem, we'll be able to do that too. So what we're doing is we're taking all the client services that we're doing manually right now and putting it into a next generation product.
Okay, now you mentioned that this is something that I could install on-prem, I could install in some cloud servers. Are there any services that exist for serving RethinkDB databases right now so that I can just go purchase it as a service as opposed to trying to install it and maintain it?
Yeah, you can install RethinkDB on Amazon AWS. We also work with a partner called Compose.io. They're now part of IBM.
Okay.
So you can use Compose to just type your credit card number and get, you know, very quickly a RethinkDB server on the web.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll help deal with scale out. It's also part of IBM's cloud services. And now we're getting RethinkDB into a lot of other cloud platforms. So it's going to be available in pretty much any cloud provider.
So, and if I just want to use infrastructure as a service, I could use any of the major cloud providers and just spin myself up some VMs and run it as a service. But
oh, yeah.
We're talking about kind of running it as a platform,
mm-hmm.
as a service, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so if we've got somebody in the audience right now that thinks, you know, this might have a place in my enterprise solution or even my startup solution, whatever. I've got some database, I'm trying to do the real-time thing and it's kind of hard and
mm-hmm.
this feels like it might fit. How do they get started with RethinkDB?
It's very easy. You can go to RethinkDB.com. You can download it on pretty much any platform. Right now it's available on Linux and OS X. And there is a project we have to port RethinkDB to Windows. It's getting very, very close to completion, and we're very excited about it because a lot of people develop on you know, Windows laptops and desktops. And there's a lot of tutorials, there's a lot of documentation. It's very easy to get started. There are examples. And as the application you're building gets more and more complicated, you'll always find resources to help you with anything you might run into.
What about what's coming down the road for RethinkDB? Any spoilers? Anything you can tell us you're working on?
Yes, we're very excited about a couple of things we're shipping. So very soon we're going to add relay integration into RethinkDB, and that's going to make the experience of building a React application dramatically easier.
Oh, wow.
So what RethinkDB is going to do is you can build a React application, and at the beginning stages when most of the code is boilerplate, it will get served by RethinkDB directly, and that's using GraphQL technology that the
mm-hmm.
Facebook team has made available. So that's very, very exciting. There's another technology called Falcor. It's similar, it's by Netflix, and it's going to integrate into Angular and React. So we're making it very, very easy for people to get started to build apps. It's easy now, it's going to get even easier. And the second thing we're very excited about is the cloud services we're going to build. It's kind of a longer timeline.
Yeah.
But what we want to do is make the services we offer to our paid customers, enterprise customers, much more operationalized and productized. So instead of talking to a human, which they're still going to be able to do, they're just going to get that entire package and software, and the software will help them solve all kinds of complex problems like auditing, security, logging, monitoring, all sorts of issues that you get with bigger deployments.
Boy, then you're really operationalized. And that's nice when you're taking away those little things or just kind of cross-cutting nags, you know, that I'm going to have to do, for every project, I'm going to have to do this, I'm going to have to do this, I'm going to do this, as opposed to just dealing with the actual problem at hand. I like that.
Yeah, it's very important, because people, when people solve the same problem over and over and over again, it's always an opportunity to make things simpler.
Yeah.
It's kind of an inefficiency in our process.
Yeah. Now, there was a question I had earlier, and I just remembered it. I wanted to ask you about the concept of eventual consistency and where that fits in a real-time database. It kind of feels like the two are opposing.
Yes, they are. So.
Okay.
There is a lot of distributed systems problems that are very hard to solve. It's a hard, you know, challenging problem that we're solving for our users and customers at RethinkDB. And we tried doing this a couple of different ways. We did a lot of tests. And what we learned is that it's very important. So if you're building an app, it's very important for the underlying data layer to be immediately consistent in order for the developer to make it easier for the developer to build the app.
Okay.
So the moment you get eventual consistency, it's great because it's extremely available. So if you have a net split between two data centers, let's say, or two machines, you could still write on both sides and then the data eventually kind of converges. But the problem is that the developer is always forced to deal with conflicts.
Yeah.
And there's really no way around it. And there are some sets of operations that you could do, you could deal with conflicts automatically. Like for example, if you're incrementing a view counter,
mm-hmm.
you could always just add them up when the net split resolves.
Mm-hmm.
But in most cases, you can't really do that. So RethinkDB is immediately consistent. Every time you see a write, you do a write. It goes, every document is an authoritative master node, and that write gets routed to the master. So anytime you read, you're guaranteed to see the writes that you wrote. You're guaranteed you're not going to deal with any conflicts, which makes building the app dramatically easier. Now, of course, the flip side of that is if you have a net split, you can only write on one side, and the other side of the net split, your users won't be able to make modifications. They'll only be able to read outdated data.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a fundamental trade-off in these systems. It's always simplicity of building the
right.
app
right.
versus the complexity of supporting these conflicting, you know, demands, and we chose simplicity for our users.
And that might be the point in time where you use RethinkDB with a different solution that, you know, works in a different way.
Right, so very often people choose React or Cassandra, which are excellent products that let you deal with these conflicts as a developer.
Right.
And they support eventual consistency, but then, you know, sometimes you need that, and that's great, and then we'll integrate our products and services with those databases for the infrastructures that need that.
Yeah. Okay, last question for you, Slav.
Yeah.
Who's this guy?
This guy is the thinker. I don't know if you guys, I hope you can see him. So we have someone named Annie. She is an illustrator here at RethinkDB. And what we wanted to do is, people usually think of databases as these complicated technologies, right? And our goal is to really lower the bar to building real-time apps. We want to make it easy and accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
And the idea that we had is if you do some illustrations that make people feel, you know, invited and
mm-hmm.
friendly and welcomed,
yeah.
The product isn't, the whole notion of databases isn't going to feel as scary to people.
Yeah.
So Andy designed the thinker, and everyone always asks who is that. He is a character that people really like, our users really like, and we decided to stick with him as the mascot. So it's very cool. He shows up in the documentation. He like illustrates every command, and people really like him. They riff on him. I mean, we kind of all band together behind the thinker.
He seems kind of fun and cozy.
Yeah, he is.
You know, I think that most modern tech companies pick an animal. Oftentimes, they'll pick an animal, and that'll be their mascot. Or I was just at GitHub Universe, and of course, they've taken two popular animals and just combined them together. This is kind of cool because it's totally original.
Everyone asks, who is this? But they always, and you know, he's the thinker, but they always recognize him after they see him at RethinkDB.
Yeah.
So this question of who is that, it's something we wanted people to keep asking.
Right. Well, is there anything else that you want to tell developers before we wrap up the show?
Yeah, the only other thing I'd like to add is to thank our open source community. The guys and girls that have been helping us build RethinkDB have been absolutely awesome. We have hundreds of contributors from around the world, and they help with things like the documentation. They go to meetups and talk about the project. They contribute code, they contribute drivers. So, you know, we couldn't have done it without them, and it wouldn't
That's cool.
be as good a product. And we also collaborate with them on GitHub every time there's a technical discussion or we have a feature. So people really genuinely help make the project better for everybody. And yeah, just thanks for everyone who participated. And if you want to try RethinkDB, it's very easy. Just go to RethinkDB.com.
Awesome. Well, that does it for our show today. Thanks for joining us. Remember, if you're on the Channel 9 page, you can comment down below. We would appreciate that. We would be glad to get back to you. You can ask questions to Slava and his team, and they can get back to you that way. Of course, you've probably got a number of other ways to interact with the folks that are using your software. But I do appreciate you joining us today, and we'll see you the next time on Code Chat.